I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We're going to stop here just for a moment. We're going to read in another place. I just wanted to bring to your attention, I'm not sure where you stand. I'm not sure of everybody's background here tonight. I don't know what your thoughts are on God, what your awareness is of salvation. But I remember a time when I heard the gospel and I was confused. I remember a time when, after I was saved, I spoke to a lady, and she had come out to a gospel meeting. I had had discussions with her. We had talked about the Lord Jesus. We had talked about the same very things that you've heard tonight about the Lord Jesus who came to save and a God who wants a relationship, and the barrier of that relationship is our own personal sin and the need to have that sin removed and the way that God has dealt with that at the cross of Calvary. She had heard the gospel. And the last time that I ever saw that lady, her last words to me before she got out of the car, she said, "There must be something else." She said, "I can't see how there's nothing that I can do. There must be something I can do." She moved away, back to Quebec. Never saw her again. So my mind is really thinking about anybody in the audience tonight, and you are interested in being saved. You're familiar with the gospel. You know the details of the gospel. You know the facts. It's not uncommon to you. And you don't need to have heard them for a long time. Just recently, I was very impressed. We heard about a mission effort in Pakistan, and there we heard about the one who was bringing the gospel into a part of that country. And here he was, he's preaching the gospel, and five men just come from the mosque, a place there where they would go to worship a different God. The idea of salvation through the Lord Jesus would be something that they would condemn and stand against. And for those that believe that Jesus is the Christ, they would behead those people. They were heathens, infidels. And here are five men who come from that place worshiping Allah, and they walk up the street and they come in and sit in the back of the gospel meeting. They hear the gospel. Saved. Just like that. It's not the amount of information. It's what you do with the information that you've been given. And so you have enough information already to be saved, and maybe you're sitting here and what you're thinking as you have thought about the gospel is, I have a desire to be saved. I want to be saved. But there must be something else. There must be more to this. There must be something that I'm missing. I remember sitting in the seat thinking as somebody stood on the platform and they said, it's so simple. Salvation is so simple. You just walk through the door. Jesus Christ is the door, and you just walk through the door. It's so easy. And I remember being so frustrated because I couldn't figure it out. And tonight God has left, and here we've read clear proof. Maybe you're confused as to where you stand in relation to God. Well, here it says, what is your thoughts on the preaching of the cross? Because if the preaching of the cross has not brought delight to your soul, if the preaching of the cross hasn't given you a peace and a rest, and as you hear this, you're enjoying the message, not just because of how it was presented and the words that were used and the stories that were told, but you enjoy it because you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And if you haven't enjoyed the message of the cross, if it hasn't been a demonstration in your own life and you're able to go back to a time when you remember when you encountered the power of God in salvation, And you're sitting here saying, I don't know, and I can't figure it out. Well, to the one that says who can't figure it out, that the preaching of the cross is foolishness. This is what we read. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Is this message foolishness to you? Not that you sit there and think this is a ridiculous message, but it's foolishness that you can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense. That's evidence that you're perishing, that you don't have the life that God is offering. You don't have life through the Lord Jesus. You don't have the eternal life that God has promised to anyone who will simply believe Him. I want to take just a few moments to answer this question with you. Is there another way? Is there another way to enter into a relationship with God other than through the cross of Christ? Is there another way to enter into a relationship with God other than by faith? We're going to turn to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 26. The Gospels tell us the life of the Lord Jesus while He was here, the Son of God eternally. He took a body. He came down. He was born of a virgin. We could have turned back to the book of Genesis. Very interesting to do this. Go back to the book of Genesis. You've heard about the fall of mankind. And you find in the fall of mankind that took place in a garden. The disobedience that man expressed was in a garden. God had given them strict instructions. Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the day that you eat, you will surely die. You will become one of the perishing ones. And Romans tells us that after that, man disobeyed God, and so death has passed upon all men because all have sinned. It's a common lot for all of us. We have different places that we live and different things that we do, but all of us share in this, that we are all among those that are perishing. That's how we are in this world. That's come from the very first man and woman that ever lived. Came from that sin of disobedience. And there the promise was given. There's a seed coming. There's a person who's coming. Not the seed of man. Not just another person born into this world, but this is going to be a unique birth. And there's someone who's going to be coming a unique birth. He's going to be a unique man. He's not going to be just another man. He's actually going to be God manifest in the flesh. The Son of God is going to come down, and the Son of God is going to deal with our sin. And so now we're going to find in Matthew chapter 26 that we're going to enter into another garden. Because all since Genesis chapter 3, what we've seen is death and sin in the human race, and the havoc that it has raised in the lives of people. And the end of that has been death. And the experience of life for those who don't accept the Lord Jesus, who don't accept what God has given, who don't take God's word, who don't believe Him. It has been a life, regardless of if it's been good or bad by other people's standards, regardless of how much they've enjoyed it, whether they've had money or whether they've been poor, it's a life that has ended in death and separation from God, not only in this life, but in the life to come. That's what we are left with. You turn to the end of your Old Testament, and by the end of it, you have promises, but you have no hope. There's nothing that's been provided. There's no answer for sin. There's no way for a man to be made right with God and be able to enter into a relationship with God. Now in Matthew, we're introduced to the Lord Jesus and His life while He was here. In Matthew chapter 26, we're coming into the Garden of Gethsemane. And just on the cusp of Calvary, He's just about to go for really the fulfillment of why He came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And He's going to tell one of the rulers, one of those people that sat in judgment against Him, this is the reason why I came. For this hour. He's going to go to a cross. You've heard of the cross. This is before the cross. I want you to see what's going to happen in the life of the Lord Jesus. Look with me at verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. What's going to happen after this? They're going to come and they're going to arrest the Lord Jesus. And they're going to take him and they're going to have a trial. And they're going to find him guilty. In fact, they're going to say that there's no reason for death. The judge is going to see there's no reason for death. But the reason they want him put to death is because of envy. They just want him out. They don't want this man among them. And he is going to die on a cross. But what happened on that cross? The Bible tells us he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord had chosen that place, that time, for this man, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. But I want you to see what is happening here in the garden, because in the garden, we haven't yet gone to the cross. We're just before the cross, and this is the cry to his Father. He goes out and he prays to his Father and he says, If it is possible, if there's any other way, here is this cup that has been presented to him. The Father has put this in front of him, and that cup is the suffering of the cross. That cup is all of our iniquity, and you take all of the sin that you have experienced in your own life, and you take all of the things that are wrong in your life, and you think of all the diseases and all the consequences that come from sin. Death has come from sin. And all these things are going to be poured into that cup. And then you go to the next person and all of their sin and all the judgment that is required for those sins. What you've heard of, that lake of fire that is going to burn forever and never ever end. And all of the iniquity and all of the judgment from that person beside you, it's put into the cup as well. And then the person sitting on the other side of you, their sin and their judgment, it's going to go into the cup. And then the judgment for all of mankind for all time, all the things that have offended God, every time that the law has been broken, every time a thought has gone awry, every time that a thought has gone contrary to God, every time someone has turned away from God, every time someone has rejected God, all of that is going to be put into the cup. All of it requires, every single sin requires the never-ending judgment of the lake of fire. It's not just the accumulation of sin that requires that. It's every single sin requires it. And all of those things have been put into the cup. And that cup has been presented to the Lord Jesus, and it's him who's going to take that cup. That's why he came. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent him into the world to take this cup. Now the hour has come. And he is crying to his Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass away. Put this cup away. Take this cup away from me. If there's any other way, remove it. Did you notice as we read through the experience of the Lord Jesus in the garden? How many times did he go to talk to his father? How many times in agony did he fall on his face and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, crying to his father to have this cup removed? The cup was so awful to him. He understood the consequences. He understood what was coming. He understood the waves and the billows of wrath that were going to pour on him like a tsunami. He understood what it was going to be taken away and forsaken by his God. And there is a God with all power and all strength, and a God who loves, and that God is going to do absolutely nothing to help him or to reduce his suffering. And three times he cries to the Father, "If there's any other way, take this cup from me." How many times did he get an answer? There wasn't one. If you understand anything about the Lord Jesus, you don't have to read very far into the Gospel of Matthew, and the heavens open up. We haven't read barely anything about his life. And the Father in heaven looks down on the Lord Jesus, his Son, and he splits the heavens, and he says, "There's something I need you to know about this man. You'll allow me to use a paraphrase. There's something I want you to know about my boy. I'm completely pleased with him. I love him. I've given everything into his hands. All of eternity belongs to him. The kingdom is his. This is the Son." The Father says, "I have created time. I've laid out this path of redemption for mankind because I want every person to praise my Son. He is worthy. And I want every tongue to acknowledge that he is Lord. I want everyone to bow to him. I want everybody to gather around him and to sing praises to his name. And I am going to set up a kingdom, and I am going to set him on the throne, and he is going to reign for 1,000 years. And there'll be no challenge against him. There's nobody that's going to come along and conquer him. This is the plan that God has for his Son." Do you think if there was any other way than the cross, you think that God would have chosen? You think if there was any way to hold back the suffering, to hold his Son back from the cross, to spare him in some way from the shame and the pain of the cross, if there was a way to redeem man, because God wants to be with men. He wants men and women, boys and girls. He wants everyone to be with him. He wants everybody to be free from sin. Think of the pain that sin, even in your own life, the pain that sin has brought. God does not want that in your life. God wants a life for you that will never end, a life that is full, a life that is with him, a life that is free. Anyone who is willing to take him, the Father says to the Son, anyone who is willing to come to you by faith, you can have him. Do you not think that the Father would have, if there was another way, that the Father would have chosen a different path? And it doesn't make sense to us, because we're perishing. Our minds are corrupted. And this is where we need to line our minds up with God. And we need to believe what God has said. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And even though we look at the preaching of the cross and it doesn't make sense, It's foolish. How could it really be? And God is saying, just believe me. Look at what I had to do to my son. Look at what my son had to go through in order to establish this relationship. Look what he had to do in order to offer salvation. There's no other way. It doesn't make sense. It's not going to fit into a logic puzzle. It's not going to be able to be laid out in reasonable terms. Because God had to do something that is outside of humanity, outside the ability of our thinking. In all of his wisdom, think about the wisdom of our God. Think about how our bodies are formed. Think about the operation of this universe. And we only see it operating when it's broken. You know very well when you pick something up and you've got that toy and you're trying to play with that toy and it's broken. And you're trying to drive that car and it only turns right and it's supposed to turn left. Well, you can play with it a little bit, but you don't really get the joy out of it. We're looking at bodies. We're looking at a universe that is broken. Sin has broken this universe, and it's still amazing. Still amazing. This is the wisdom of our God, and all of his wisdom. The only answer for sin, the only way that he could make a relationship possible, the only way that he could offer forgiveness, his son had to go to the cross. His son had to die. His son had to take the wages of our sin. There is no other way. There's nothing that we can add. There's nothing that we can take away. There's nothing that we can figure to slip in. There's no details that we can remove. This is what God needed. And he's proven it here, if it's possible. We could turn to the Gospel of John. After, as he's leaving the garden, he's getting ready to go. He raises up. The people are coming to arrest him to take him to the cross. And his disciples, they try to defend him. And he says, the cup which my Father has given me, should I not drink it? And he goes to the cross. And that cup of suffering, that cup of our iniquity, he drank it all. He said, it is finished. We sang in the beginning. Those aren't just words of a hymn writer. When the Savior said, 'tis finished, it's the words that are recorded in the Scripture. It's the words that the Lord Jesus cried from the cross. It's finished. It's paid in full. The work is done. He emptied that cup. Now you tell me, this happens in our house sometimes. You go to pick up that nice drink of pop in the can, and somebody else got to it first, and it's empty. What's left in the can? Well, the suffering for sin, the cup that the Father gave to the Son. He finished it. What's left for us? What is left for the sinner to be able to do? Nothing. The Savior did it all. To those of us that are saved, if you're not saved here tonight, you could experience for the first time, considering the cross of the Lord Jesus, the power of God. The power of God to bring you to salvation. Find it all in the person of the Lord Jesus, we'll pray. Our Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful that Thou hast left the Word of God so that we are able to learn about ourselves and our own shortcomings and our sins. We're able to realize that there is judgment for those things. We're so thankful that it doesn't end there. We're so thankful that the Lord Jesus has been sent, that he has been provided as a sacrifice for sin. We're thankful for the gospel that announces it and the opportunity in grace that has been given again tonight. Bless thy word, we do ask. Bless the souls that are here. And we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.